believe I can fly.
We're starting.
I believe I can touch the sky.
I believe you should stop doing that.
All right. So welcome once again to Angels and Hellions. I'm Kevin Hellions.
I'm Elise. No moniker.
No moniker. No gimmicks needed.
None necessary.
And we have our very first in-studio guest, the education
of excellence.
Excellence. Nice. Nice. Thank you for that. I figure you can be like the education, kind of like the situation and all, which is something we might get to later.
Maybe.
Depending on...
Snooky want mush mush.
Oh, mush mush coming your way.
Right. So we're back once again. Last time we had a very special drunk episode. And this week...
Did you post that?
No, not yet. Not as of this recording, but by the time this recording will go up, then it will be last week. As they're going to come out weekly. Like all good shows.
I think bi-weekly has its merits.
Bi-weekly does, but I was afraid that we won't be doing this on such a regular basis.
I honestly think anything bi has its merits.
Rar. Rar, Mr. Educator. Rar.
Because you believe in people being bilingual.
Hey, anything that can be done twice, it's got to be worth doing at all.
All right, now the education had something they wants to talk about, something that he needs to get off his chest, burning issue of the week. And
it's not in his pants.
No, and it involves one Big Daddy Cool. Education, what do you got to say about Kevin Nash?
Ladies and gentlemen, I just have to say that since watching the Royal Rumble, the 2011 edition of the Royal Rumble, marking out like it was 1994, when Big Daddy Cool tossed some 7 superstars out in a row.
In a row?
In a row?
In a row. I have to ask, ladies and gentlemen, why is Kevin Nash not on my TV screen every Monday night or taped on Tuesday to be on my TV screen every Friday night? Why doesn't this man have a contract? Why isn't he getting paid to entertain me? Someone please tell me.
Is it possible he doesn't want that? I'm asking as outsider. Well, I wouldn't say total outsider. But as someone without the experience that the two of you have, is it possible he is not? Because you always told me about how him and Booker, he and Booker, liked TNA so much because they had very little time commitments. But still good money. Is WWE too much of a commitment? Is it possible that he was just like, sure, I'll take a big check, but isn't willing to step in full time with a contract?
I think at this point in his career, Mr. Nash has to come to the reality that he knows that he's perhaps lost a step in his game. But he's
AKA he's old.
Nah, you see. You
he's old as Kevin Decent.
I see.
Kevin Hellions.
He perhaps has lost his step in his game, but Vince McMahon's got to see that there is potential money at the grandest stage of them all, WrestleMania, and that there could be a rematch of the Giant versus the Big Sexy that happened some 10
Andre?
Years ago at WCW.
Who's the Giant?
That would be who the Big Show is now in WWE terms. We
See?
All saw that
it's
they
like
had
outsider.
A major stare down when Kevin Nash was eliminated. Actually, Big Daddy Cool Diesel was eliminated at the Royal Rumble, and Big Show was making his entrance into the actual Royal Rumble match. I honestly believe that Kevin Nash has got one more run in him, whether it's a 6 month or a full year or at least behind the scenes with talent and booking strategies. I really.
How do we know he's not behind the scenes with talent booking right now? I mean, that would be behind the scenes.
Certainly would be behind the scenes, but I'm sure by now that if he had some sort of role in the company, that something I'm sure would have been leaked into the sheets, so to speak. That
and Kevin Hellions, that is not so. You are my go-to on this.
I am. A few things. One, it's very funny that you, not knowing this, keep referring to yourself as an outsider when referring to Kevin Nash, because what you don't know is Kevin Nash's tag team in WCW was called the Outsiders. So it's just kind of funny that you...
Were they greasers?
No, no.
Did somebody get stabbed? Oh, not Pony Boy.
But no, the Greasers were Deuce and Domino in WWE.
Oh, God.
The guy's name was Deuce. He was the number two man for the team.
Did he play like a deuce?
He did. He was also revved up like a deuce, another loner in the night.
So, thank you.
The rumor is for Kevin Nash that he decided, you say he's got one more run in him. The guy's had like a dozen knee surgeries. He doesn't have a run of shit worth in him. He ain't running anywhere anytime soon. But the rumor is he decides he's only got like one or two, probably one more year that he could actually wrestle and do anything. And his idea is, if I'm going to go out, why not go out on top? If I'm going to retire, why retire for a AAA team? I'm going to retire with the Yankees. Makes sense.
Does that make TNA the AAA team?
Yes.
I don't like that.
It sadly is, though. Compared to WWE, they're not at the same level. I enjoy it, but they're not at the same level. And I
can watch TNA, but I get bored watching Raw.
I got bored watching SmackDown this week.
But I can sit through TNA, no problems. And I watch Raw, and I get bored. Maybe it's just me. There's something wrong with me.
No, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just the people are grabbing you. Nash. Thank you. Nash might be on a Legends deal. And for No Gimmicks Needed, at least, the Legends deal is, you can do public appearances, you can do signings, you get on the DVDs, you get a cut, you can get merchandise for WWE, which you get a cut of, plus you get a base pay every year. So he doesn't have to leave his house, and he still has a salary coming in. So it makes sense.
Not a
to
bad
do.
Deal.
Booker T's got...
Can I interject? Why didn't Ric Flair do that?
He was doing that. And didn't he have a contract dispute? Like, he didn't want to do the public appearances and shit, Mr. Education?
I believe at one point there was a notion of actually bringing him in as on-air, possibly being one of the general managers for one of the two brands. But I think negotiations ended up breaking down, and then he ended up touring with Hogan's group overseas when Hogan was trying to revive that overseas group. And then ultimately they all ended up in TNA.
IWO?
I don't remember what it was.
Something?
Overseas.
IWGP. I know stuff.
No, I know. Hogan and Beefcake were wrestling, and Sean Morley was Val Venus was wrestling.
Lacey Von Erich,
the Nasty Boys were wrestling. They just revived an overseas Australia trip, is what it was, if I remember.
Remember WWA? Right after WCW?
World Wrestling All Stars. I do remember
when,
that slightly.
When Jeff Jarrett tried to get his original pay-per-view company starting, and he couldn't get talent to commit to more than one pay-per-view in a row, so every pay-per-view they had to crown a new champion.
Absolutely.
Because the previous one wouldn't work for them again.
Yeah, I do.
So bad.
Absolutely. But going back to with Flair, I think it just everything ended up breaking down, and then Flair ended up going with Hogan's group, doing that Australian tour, and then ultimately everybody ended up in TNA, and that's when you ended up having
because
Triple
TNA
H.
is fantastic.
Well, you had Triple H every other week on TV, pretty much talking about how Flair was hawking his autograph at the local VFW, and that's why he couldn't get a hold of him because he's had so many financial problems. But that's a whole other story in itself, but. I truly believe, one of the biggest minds...
Was Ric Flair under contract during this time? That was just the actual storyline? Was
no,
like a wrestler gimmick? Or they actually couldn't get a hold of him?
To explain his absence, Flair was under contract. I'm remembering some stuff now. He was under contract, and he was still doing shows, like local indie shows. He'd get paid 10 grand or whatever, show up, sign some autographs, take some pictures. WWE's like, you have to approve it through us. They allow it. Jerry Lawler just did 2CW. They do allow it, but you have to approve it. Like, we are your primary employee. Any secondary work needs to be approved through us. He's like, fuck you, I'm Ric Flair. And then they left. They parted ways.
Can I interject with something else unrelated? Well, related in a sense. Can we get a little background on who the Educator is in our lives?
He taught me how to love.
The people might want to know.
How to be a man.
I would say that as a couple, he and his wife and their children are dearest friends of ours.
True.
But you two go farther back than just us as a couple.
True, true. We're doing history lessons, as we did the Valentine's Day one, explaining our history.
You got to make it personal. People want to know who they're listening to.
The educator, when he was mere educee, was
that's not a word.
It is now.
I think student.
Sure.
Might be something you're going for.
The educee was nice enough to sit behind me in French class at school. And our social circles intertwined.
At your Catholic school, as we previously discussed.
It's much like Jay and Bob. Like, we have friends in common, but we don't hang out.
Word.
You feel to interject? Education?
Yeah, going back.
Sadly, we only have two mics. We apologize.
To the whole Catholic school thing, that's like 15 grand I wish my family had back. But that's a whole other story.
Oh, wait, no. Go on about that, because I am adamant that our children will not go to Catholic school.
Oh.
What is? Elaborate on what you're saying. We spent like a good 20 minutes on 90210, if that gives you any.
It's just, you know, I did the whole Catholic school run. I did public school through junior high and then moved to the big city and didn't want to get intertwined in the public school system of the big city. So
hold on, keep laughing, Kevin Hellier.
So ultimately, the decision was made to partake in Catholic school education. And ultimately, tuition ended up being about, I don't know, $3,500 to $4,500. It gradually increases in the 4 years I was there. But ultimately, 15 grand about on education. That in
for
the
how
end,
many years?
4 years. Donate to a church scandal. Absolutely.
What was that?
If you within and a reminder, we'll call you education, Kevin Hellions. No gimmicks needed, at least stuff like that. Because
it's at least no less moniker.
No, at least no less moniker. Should anything ever come back, we're not giving our actual names.
Good. Except I did earlier. It's this very same podcast.
No one remembers it. Besides, hey, we're up to 100.
Yeah. Excellent. See, and my theory is I'm not doing this podcast if enough people are listening to it that I can fit in this room and just talk to you.
We've beat the jump this month.
I think that
my original one.
I think that 100 people in this particular living room would be extremely uncomfortable, and therefore I feel it's worth going on.
I really want to ask Unfamous what he reaches, but it's none of my business.
Ask. Don't publish. Ask.
So, the Catholic education thing and all, if you are sending your kid to a Catholic school, grade school, junior high school, but your family is a member of a parish and tithes or gives donations every week at Mass, you can pay less tuition because part of your donation at Mass goes to the Catholic education. So the idea is we're not gonna charge you twice. We're not gonna charge you full amount when part of it goes to it.
What's wrong
anyways.
With that? I mean, I've been to church with your mom,
there's
and every
nothing,
time she writes
there's
a check,
nothing wrong
I'm assuming
with
that check is more than $10.
Yeah.
I haven't never looked at the check. I'm assuming it's more than $10.
Yeah, and they want you to tithe. They want you to give 10% of your income. Well, most people can't do that, but you know.
But they're giving what they can, and
you give what you can.
I'm assuming it's more than $10.
Yeah.
It's not like when I was at church with my grandma and I was like, can I have a dollar? Because I really want to put something in the collection.
Right. And it certainly adds up over the year as well. Well, what the thing is that some people who I would not know and would not have heard the story, like been in the room when this story happened or anything, this would not, never, was, oh, hey, what if I just tell them I donate every week? But I don't use the envelopes, and I only give the cash, and thus they can't trace and prove that I do or do not donate,
so
and thus can pay less tuition.
The scandal isn't that the church is accepting the discount for people that are donating appropriate tithes. It's that people who send their kids to the Catholic Church are actually screwing over the tithes.
Yes, yes. Because, like as you said, you've seen my mom write a check. One, it's a check. There's a paper trail. Two, it's put in an envelope. There's a secondary paper trail. There are taxes done at the end of the year for it. But, like
somebody
you also
pet the
said,
cat.
You can go to, like, your grandmother or whatever and say, oh, can I have a dollar? They can't track that dollar. They don't know who donated it.
Yeah.
They can't track taxes or anything. So they would do that or say, oh, I pay in cash and I donate every week and I give this amount. And you would just be like, all right, why would someone lie about this?
Save money on tuition.
Absolutely.
Okay, I see where that comes in.
Okay, now if anyone could tell
one of
how
8,000 reasons our kids are not going to Catholic school, and it's not that I am judging other people that feel that that's the right thing to do. I understand it's your choice. It's subjective. It is not what we are doing.
Okay, but what we are doing is talking
about
education.
Matt, what were you like in high school? Were you well behaved? Because, see... No, let me just finish because Matt doesn't know the backstory. Every kid I have ever met that was educated in Catholic school is so much worse than 90% of the kids I met in public school in terms of sex and drugs and rock and roll. That I have to ask, like, what were you like? I know Kevin was pretty straight edge, as was I through high school.
Let me just tell you. For a member of the National Honor Society, he was not acting very honorable.
Well, I was a member of the National Honor Society. What were you doing? We discussed earlier tonight that you were having the sex in high school.
I was having the premarital sex.
Ow!
Protected, but the premarital sex.
Oh, okay.
Sex in high school.
Matt, may I just interject? That is that much worse because as a Catholic.
Oh.
As a Catholic, you are not supposed to be using those contraceptives.
It's not premarital if you don't plan on getting married.
If you don't plan on getting married.
I'm sorry, you didn't have a mic on that.
It's not premarital if you don't plan on getting married.
Exactly. It's not premarital if you're not going to plan on getting married. So, anyways, so in high school.
Prophylactic.
Well, you know, we do what we got to do in the backseat of a 1991. Toyota Corolla behind a grocery store. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Ultimately, you know, I wasn't one of the top two or three or five in my class. But I was in the National Honor Society.
I was
did
number
well.
14 in my class.
Class of how many?
450.
Wow, you're a nerd. I think I was probably top.
I thought I was, like, average because I wasn't in the top 10.
I think I ultimately ended up finishing probably top 10 out of, I think our class was about 70. I mean, I did well enough to ultimately go to an Ivy League school for college.
I went to SUNY Potsdam.
Nothing wrong with SUNY Potsdam. In fact, I
had a lot of fun.
I probably would have been smart enough to ultimately start at a state school and save some major coin instead of 2 years of Ivy League that ultimately could have been done at a community college or a state school level.
You want to know the worst thing?
Is Potsdam gorgeous?
Hold on.
Is
you don't
Potsdam
have a microphone,
gorgeous?
So you can't interject until you have a microphone in front of you. You got to remember that, Kevin Hellions. But the worst part is because if you graduated in the top 10%, not in the top 10, in the top 10% of the class at RFA, maybe they don't still do this, but when I did, but Rome Free Academy... You could then go to MVCC, the local community college, tuition-free.
Tuition-free.
And I was in the top 10%.
How did that arrangement work out?
You don't pay. You're in the top 10%. As long as you keep up your good grades, you go for free. I didn't take it. And I want to kill 18-year-old Elise, who just wanted to go and be on her own every day for that, I don't know, $15,000 to $20,000 I'm now paying for.
Is RFA
fuck?
RFA is a public school, right?
Roam Free Academy, yes. We okay. Roamed free, public.
This
free. True.
Free.
This might be why to give paid tuition to students at a community college. This might be why there are no sidewalks in this fucking town, and that no one paves or plows or whatever.
I
this could be the reason
it was
why.
Just, well, I mean, think about it. You've got your top 10%. And a lot of those kids are going to go to Ivy League schools.
Absolutely.
Because they can. The top 10, for example, the actual top 10, they're not going to go to MVCC. They're the top 10 out of 450. you work that out percentage wise, and it's pretty good.
That's fantastic.
They're going somewhere else.
They're
most
do
of those kids
with their life and become a very productive member.
But most of those kids are like, society. I'm not going to a community college. Yeah. I'm going to go to the best school I can possibly get into. Like Yale, Princeton, you give me the best you've got. That's where I'm going.
Cornell.
Cornell, yes.
Big Red.
But so I think that the city is probably not actually, and not to mention MVCC is not just Rome. It's Rome Utica.
That's true.
So Mohawk I don't actually think Valley, that's coming so. Out of the city money. I think that's just money that the college is giving up to have a student of that merit coming through them. They probably have bragging rights based on that. If the valedictorian at RFA is actually like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to go to MV for 2 years for free, that's going to give them something to be like, look, model student, oh yeah, decided to come to MV. Shouldn't you?
There's their advertising right there.
So
yeah.
I doubt the city actually pays anything for that.
I don't think so. So anyways, going back to my high school years as a Catholic youth.
Back to last year.
Going on to poor Catholic child sharing white man's burden.
All about the podcast. You go back and forth.
You know, we did our thing. We did well, you know. Not exactly the most model citizen in the world. I remember
Drinking. What kind of drinking did you do in high school?
There were...
How old were you and how much did you do it? You need to stop talking without a microphone, Kevin Hellions. They can't hear you.
There were a few instances. Not,
we know what to get me
certainly
for Christmas.
Not in every...
You don't have three USB ports. Not, I don't have a mic.
Well, all you got to do is just buy a four-port hub, and there you go. Ultimately, I wasn't certainly a partier, so to speak, but there were certainly a few times.
I want specifics.
We've had some party. Well,
how old were you the first time you got drunk?
First time I got drunk, 16 years old.
Okay.
16 years old, ended up being a liter bottle of vodka, myself, and a best friend. We were just hanging out, and I had the bottle. It was actually a gift to the family, and parents were gone over the weekend. And
did you get caught?
No, I was extremely hungover the next day, and my parents thought that I was sick, and they honestly debated on bringing me up to the emergency room as I was violently throwing up on Easter Sunday when we were supposed to go out for the holiday meal.
Any drugs? Were there drugs?
I honestly, as I can sit here and say that I, in terms of drugs, I have been true straight edge. You know, I've certainly been in rooms and getting secondhand inhalation, so to speak, of drugs.
See, and you two are a perfect example of not what I'm talking about with Catholic education.
Not what I'm talking about. I will tell you.
An example of the point I'm not trying to make. So if you could just please shut up so I can make my point.
Well,
you are
certainly
serious exemptions to what I'm talking about. Because, you know, I'm going to drop a name here. There was this kid, Mark Tilby. And when I was 14. You think fucking Mark Tilby's listening to this? I'm saying I'm dropping the name because Kevin Hellions, they can't hear you, so bite me. He just said, you can't hear me, and waved his hand in front of his face for our wrestling fans. If you're not a wrestling fan, look up John Cena and come back again later.
We talked about Kevin Nash for 20 minutes. If they're still listening, they're fucking
shut the fuck up. Okay, so Mark Tilby was, like, getting laid and, you know, doing drugs, smoking pot at like 14 or 15. And for me,
and I'm all out of bubble gum.
And they still can't hear you, Kevin Hellions. He said, I came here to eat pussy and chew bubble gum. Anyways, you two, if I'd met more people like you when I was in high school going to Catholic school, then maybe I would not have this feeling I have, like I'm going to be making a huge mistake sending my kids to Catholic school someday.
Were you geeky in high school?
Yeah, I was in the top 10% of my class. Didn't we cover that?
Yeah, we probably would have.
Also, I was in drama club.
Yeah.
Not a pass for cool.
No, absolutely not. No,
My two favorite classes, any English class and chorus. So, yeah, I think that covers whether or not I was popular. I think I was known to more people than I probably knew because, you know, the mandatory kids coming to the plays. So people probably knew who I was from that. But that didn't mean they liked me, and that didn't mean that I knew who they were.
You like me. You really like me.
They really didn't. I was not popular.
My two favorite.
I had really good friends, though, that I was very close with.
My two favorite classes were chorus and Greek, and I was thrilled when they combined them.
It was what?
It was all classic literature from there on out. But
you took Greek?
And chorus. The Greek chorus. What's going on, Aristophanes? Well, let me have the Greek chorus tell you.
Why are you laughing, educator? That's not funny. Don't encourage him.
There's a long walk for a short joke.
What were the languages at your school?
What
does Catholic school have to offer for those who are considering this?
Sanskrit, Farsi.
No, seriously, what were your languages?
French, which we took, Spanish, and Latin.
Okay.
And all
Latin's pretty good.
All three had...
That's pretty good for a Catholic school.
You had to take 3 years to take the Regents, and then you had an option for a fourth. Which
got you out of your language in college.
If you took the fourth. They didn't tell us that. They're just like, hey, if you want to take a fourth,
see,
I was like, fuck
you,
I got the
school,
Regents.
They don't tell
care.
You that. Oh, I have a story to tell. Because in Rome, shockingly, Rome is a very Italian area. Italian.
A big Italian neighborhood. Oh, really? What was it? Rome.
Our options were French, Spanish, German, Italian, and Latin. And if you took French, Spanish, or Italian, you could go 1 year past the Regents, which got you out of your language requirement for college.
I wish I fucking knew that.
No,
Oh, wait, I did take 4 years. I repeated the second one, but I did take four.
But they drilled that into our heads. Like, when we were choosing our languages in seventh grade, because you also, in seventh grade, you had to take a language. It was exploratory, so you could figure out which language you wanted to take. It was called your exploratory year. I didn't name it. Shut up.
That's why Dora speaks Spanish.
Yeah, because she was
Dora
very...
Dora the exploratory semester.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin Hellions. So, this was chosen when you were in sixth grade. You had a little piece of paper and you wrote down what your preferences for language were. Well, I was
sixth
living...
Sixth grade, though?
I was
wouldn't
living...
stand by anything I wrote on a piece of paper in sixth grade.
But that's... You're not committed to anything. You can change your classes in your first year of seventh grade. Or you can, when you actually start your language in eighth grade or ninth grade, pick what you want. If you decide you didn't like what you chose for seventh grade. But I wasn't here. I was in Tupper Lake. I was up in the mountains with my lumberjacks. Not... picking my language. And for years as a child...
What language does Paul Bunyan speak?
He speaks Oxen. Specifically Blue Oxen. A new scent from Axe Body Wash coming soon. But so I wasn't there for that, and I always wanted to take French. My sister, who was taking French in high school, would actually... come home and teach me what she learned in French when I was in elementary school. I was that geek.
Did she teach you how to make French fries?
No.
French toast?
No.
French mousse?
Actually, yes. Not really. Anyways.
This is post 9/11 world.
But
we use the word freedom in this house.
The most popular language in Rome was Italian. So when I came here without having been here in sixth grade, they shoved me into Italian because that's where they had an opening.
Better than shoving an Italian in you.
So all of seventh grade, I'm just going to ignore you. I took Italian and started learning Italian language. And then in eighth grade, switched over to French.
1992. That's 1992. That's 6 weeks of Italian in eighth grade.
Thank you.
That's all that it got me.
Was that in public school?
No, that was Catholic school, actually.
You had Italian. You didn't list Italian in your options.
This was actually in the grade school, Catholic school that I actually transferred in on.
Okay,
in
sorry.
Grade.
My mistake.
In 6 weeks. I won't count 6 weeks. I did 6 weeks of basketball in gym class, I'm sure, but I wouldn't call myself a athlete.
But in eighth grade, I switched over to French because that was what I always wanted to take. And if you know anything about French versus Italian, pretty much polar opposites. In French, you pronounce, like, I don't know, a third of the syllables and letters that are written in a word. In Italian, you pronounce every single letter. It is as it's the closest language to Latin.
Also, at least the Italians could, you know, defeat another fucking country once in a while.
Thank you. So after 3 weeks of French, I was getting 80s, which, again, geek, like, 80s were not acceptable for me. I was an A student, and I transferred right back to Italian and stuck with it for the rest of the time. Took it a year past the Regents. I could have actually taken it as a college course and gotten college credit, but my parents didn't have a spare $500 laying around with five kids. So didn't do that and went to college in my, you know, after I graduated. I'm in SUNY Potsdam now. And
$500? That sounds like you were a child that got left behind. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, yeah. I could have had that college credit.
George W. Stern, that?
Yes, no child left behind.
Well, that's why he had to stay and finish the fucking book on 9/11. He's like, look, I could just leave you kids hanging, and you'll never
but
know.
But there's no children left behind in my regime.
You're never going to know if the little engine went up the hill. But damn it, there will be no child left behind. I'm going to finish the story because I want to find out how it ends, too. I haven't read this one.
But so I went to college, and my advisor was a politics teacher because, you know, when you start, you just get shoved in with a random person until you declare your major. And he told me that my Italian didn't count because starting in seventh grade, I went a year past the Regents in my junior year. So I'm like, fuck, I took all that Italian for nothing because I went a year past the Regents, but it wasn't in my senior year, so it doesn't count.
I said that.
I'm not done yet. Let
I
me
said
finish.
That when I went to the Spaghetti Warehouse. I was like, all that Italian for threw up a worse tummy ache.
Educator, you just keep your mouth shut over there. Do not take the mic. Do not take that mic. Let me finish my story. So I had gone a year past the Regents, which, as we all know, meets your language requirement. And my advisor told me that it didn't count. So I hadn't decided really whether I wanted to go drama or English, where I really wanted to put my concentration. So I was trying to get my gen eds out of the way. And he was like, well, you know what? There's a Spanish class at 8 o'clock in the morning 3 days a week. So I'm going to put you in that, and you can start getting your language requirement out of the way.
8 a.m. Spanish? That's brutal.
3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, second semester of freshman year. And so I start taking this class, and Spanish and Italian are pretty damn close.
Mostly like cognates of one another.
If I was writing it, I was perfect. The dictation, I would screw up little things that would mess me up. K, I would always write C-H-E. In Spanish, it's Q-U-E. Sounds exactly the same, but there's subtle distinctions. But it's a romance language. Conjugating your verbs is exactly the same. You know, I mean, I got it. So my professor, you know, about three quarters into the semester, is like, so you're a Spanish major, right? You're so good at this. You've got to be. And I was like, no. No, I'm just getting my language requirement out of the way. And she's like, well, why are you so good at this? And I was like, well, I took 5 years of Spanish in high school, so.
Italian, I thought you said.
I took 5 years of Italian in high school.
Which is very close, apparently, to Spanish.
It's very close.
Exactly.
I'm so glad people can't hear you, Kevin Hellions. Bite me. Ask.
This mic might be working. I hate to tell you.
That's a camera, not a microphone. Bite me either way, and it's not. Because
well
you know
done,
what?
Sir.
I listened
well
to the last
done.
Podcast, and we can't fucking hear you when you've got a fucking microphone. So that computer is not really picking you up if you're wearing headphones. Anyways, So I
you think
find
she'd at least
out,
curse you out in Italian if she took 5 years of it. What do you got, kid?
Shockingly enough, they didn't teach me how to swear in class.
Bummer.
My grandfather could have, but he had already passed away, so. Burn.
Let's rip the Band-Aid off of that wound and explore that for a little while.
We weren't that close. I didn't see him often.
All right.
That grandfather. There are others I am and was close to. Am and were. Whatever. I have a lot. My family's weird. We're not going to get into that. I've got like 8 grandparents? 9? Whatever.
It's interesting
so
how
my
we started
Spanish
with,
teacher
with Kevin
tells
Nash
me,
to now grandfathers.
My Spanish teacher tells me that I did not need to take this language because I took Italian a year past the Regents, thereby meeting my language requirement for college.
So now you
but
have the language requirement.
I had it all along.
Oh.
But my politics department head advisor, who knew nothing about fucking languages, told me I didn't have it because I finished it my junior year and not my senior year.
Obviously not a geopolitics advisor. Honestly,
apparently
they'd
not.
They'd have their languages of the world straightened the fuck
but
out.
But to make this a little more interesting, I did once run into him while I was with my college boyfriend buying condoms, and it was really awkward. Does that make this whole story more interesting? Because he's like, "Hey, Elise, how you doing?" Oh, hey, Elise,
well,
how you doing?
He was like, look, I understand that you did this in high school, but it didn't really count.
And for
you
the
need
record,
to do it in college
for the
to
record,
get credit for it.
I did not. I was totally virginal all through high school. I waited until my second semester of college to. Oh no! At the
well,
very end,
you
of
had
my
all
first
this time freed up
college.
By not having to take a language.
Yeah, well,
you're like, if I don't have to take dictation,
it was far
then...
too late. It was far too late to just withdraw from the class. I was stuck with it.
I believe the term is pull out.
I'm going to go refresh in my drink. I will let you two have the mics while I... Okay, Kevin Aliens, tell me, how do I make whatever you're drinking?
Just throw a bunch of the generic Baileys and then some milk to... Yeah, it's Mary's. And just some milk to top it off.
I'm all set, thank you. I'm all set.
All right, so when this began last year, we're talking about how the education and I got to be friends. So there was a French class. And then there was a move. And you were, like, you seemed to be, like, one of the first people... I mean, not first people in the world or in the school or in the anything... But, like, when you turned 16, it seemed like, boom, you had a car.
I did. I was blessed to have a single working mother who busted her butt and somehow single working mom paying tuition to go to a Catholic high school somehow managed to get me an old beater that worked as transportation and got me from point A to point B. So, you know, first set of wheels, we made it work.
It took...
No.
and that car did take a beating, too, but... My family was moving, and after school, I would just pack up some shit into, like, my school bag and duffel bags and all, and walk a couple, like, I don't know, maybe about a mile to where the new house was, empty out the shit, come back, and I was hauling, like, books and silverware and mugs and, like, just anything in the house to help, and I would do that for a few hours. And this kid, who I kind of knew but not really, was like, "Hey, what the fuck are you doing? Are you running away with the circus? Why are you carrying all these bags?
Yeah,
you've been out of school for like 2 hours, man.
It's like 5 o'clock. You're walking up the street with like 4 duffel bags."
I was like, "Oh, we're moving. I'm just carrying stuff." He's like, "Well, fuck. I ain't doing anything tomorrow. I'll haul these." And then we're going through. It's like, "Hey, what do you got here? Oh, you watch wrestling too. Allow me to show you my room, which is covered in other wrestling stuff." It's like, shit, this kid watches wrestling. I watch wrestling. Oh, here's a cool movie we watched too. You're kind into comics, not to the ridiculous level I am. And all, it's like, cool. And
had
then,
an appreciation.
And then just continued and continued and continued. And you know, maybe at first it was like, I got a fucking place to watch pay-per-views.
Nice.
This is great. And then it got to be, hey... He's dating girls that have friends. Not that worked out great.
Not,
but at the time, it seemed like a good idea.
No, at the time, I mean, Tang was Tang. I mean, didn't matter.
Tang was Tang.
Tang was Tang. I mean, it was a drink.
Tang.
It was a drink. It went down smooth at the time. It got the job done.
Buongiorno. Mi chiamo Alice. No last moniker.
Thank you.
What?
But no, oh, jeez, that scared the shit out of me.
Quite literally. You better go change your pants.
I apologize. I need clean pants. You should have been like, hello, my name is Elise Montoya. I'm about to spray some air freshener because I just smoked in the house. Prepare to die. Because that scared me.
To die.
I wish it was hot, but I can't hear you.
Is that all right?
It's all right.
It's
all right. It's
all right. It's all right.
It's all right. All right. So, yeah, Matt and I met up and we talked about that and Elise was gone out of the room.
I will hear that story later, I suppose.
You will. And we double dated and we made some mistakes and we had some fun. And all. Now, you know what? Well, let's get to that. Because I do like, to, you know, we talk about a lot on here, but I do like to keep it kind of geeky. And I want to say, because you had...
So what about Kevin Nash?
Why
isn't he?
I think he'll just show up randomly.
Especially, but you don't think he earns the contract?
I think he's not interested in the contract. I think he's at the point in his career where, you know, he realizes his career's, you know, pretty close to the end of its active stages. He wants to do what he wants to do. I truly believe that Nash was very smart with all the money that he got from his big contract in WCW. He was pretty smart with all of his money that he ended up getting doing whatever indies and TNA work that he had through the years. And he doesn't need to work. The thing is that...
You just want to see him
the wrestling
personally.
Fans like to see him work. And the guy has a phenomenal mind for the business, a fantastic personality.
Now, I know you're not a TNA guy, but did you watch any of the Main Event Mafia stuff?
Oh, MEM, absolutely. I was, you know, I haven't watched TNA recently since the Hogan era has restarted.
It's kind of gone downhill. Their women's and their X division have just plummeted.
Yeah. I know that there's
some... But I kind of, the Main Event Mafia was the beginning of the end for me, only because it made it so boring. The Main Event Mafia won fucking everything. The X Division, you know, AJ Styles would have a match with Kurt Angle. You know what's going to happen? Kurt Angle's going to win. He's going to get the belt. Every fucking time.
Well, the thing
like, it was just too much. There was, if the Main Event Mafia had to really, like, if there was ever any feeling that they might not win, it would have been so much more exciting. But every time they won, and I understand they were the bigger draw, they had the better contracts, but from a story perspective, it was in no way interesting because you didn't need to watch the matches to know how it was going to turn out.
It wasn't just...
They didn't even make it like maybe your younger guys will win. It was just, no, Main Event Mafia is going to get it.
It wasn't just that you knew they were going to win. It was the whole booking, because I got real frustrated with it. And I used to, before I did, like, a blog for the main shows, I had all my notebooks. I would write down what happened to try to remember. And you know,
I
like
know, because I've bought these notebooks.
Yeah. And I mean, BE, I bought a bunch of them, too.
Before Elise, no less moniker.
Yeah, I bought a bunch of
them, too. B-E-N-M.
But I would see patterns forming, and during the main event, like, you know, now it's like, if you go through... how Raw starts. Like, 1 week, it might be, you know, it starts off and we have a match right away. And then the next week, it might start off with an interview. And then next week, you might actually have the Raw opening with the music. And then you do a thing. And then the next week, like, Nexus comes out and beats the shit out of someone. Like, it starts differently every time. The entire Main Event Mafia time, there are two ways TNA open. A limo pulled up, they went to the TNA opening, and you crossed the line. Or TNA opening, you cross the line, and then a limo pulled up. It was just like, these two things are how we're going to start a show, and it's whatever, we just switched the order.
And frankly, that doesn't even matter as much as the outcome of the matches. If Main Event Mafia, and I think these well-paid, better-paid people, I mean, you mentioned Taylor Wilde earlier today, not on the podcast, quit because a fan came up and was like, "You're the women's champion. Why are you working at a sunglasses
She's
place
working
in the
sunglasses
mall?"
Hot.
She was
Roxy
like, "Well,
works
this,
for Planet
pay,
Fitness.
This pays better."
You know,
but
Gail
the
Kim
point is,
left TNA a division
even
she
if
created.
These people are making less money, which whatever it is, what it is, the business is the business. People are going to tune in for Ric Flair before they're going to tune in for AJ Styles. It's true, like it or not, it's true. AJ Styles is younger. He can wrestle better. It doesn't matter.
He's got a terrible tattoo, but other than that.
People are going to tune in to see Ric Flair. Yeah. That's fucking exciting.
Well,
because you've known him for years. But to see whether or not Ric Flair might win, to have that drama of what's going to happen is important. And you didn't have that during the Main Event Mafia year.
No, and it's... Because Angle still felt like he was fresh. Sting felt that. Booker felt that. Scott Steiner felt that. And you
and
didn't
especially
see Scott Steiner
because they
his...
were the heels. You Your heels see... were winning everything, every time. And that's hard for your viewers to swallow.
Yeah, and I mean, Angle's phenomenal. He's fucked up in the head, but he's a great wrestler. Booker T's unreal how good he is. But he's getting older. He's past his prime. Sting's already passed. Nash is already passed.
And
Scott Steiner
much,
in the 80s was amazing. He could do things no one his size should be able to do.
The Main
and
Event Mafia
joke.
Pretty much ended for me with the whole Christian storyline. Because that he was a neutral party.
They didn't do that
and
one
you
well.
You didn't know how it was going to turn out. Every week, I had to tune in to find out what was going to happen with Christian for the Main Event Mafia because they wanted him, but he, you know, idealistically, and this is storyline, was siding with the people who got TNA going, the younger people. You know,
also,
your Samoa Joe, your AJ Styles. He was idealistically there with them, but he had that history to be Main Event Mafia. And that was interesting because you didn't know what was going to happen. And when it turned out he's, and this is a company thing, he was going to WWE, so they screwed him over. But it didn't matter because you didn't know necessarily how it was going to end, and it ended pretty anticlimactic.
Yeah. But it was also because they wanted to, Main Event Mafia, you had to be a former world champion. Christian was a former TNA world champion. They bring in Samoa Joe and Taz later on. Taz, ECW champion. Samoa Joe, TNA champion. And at that point, Ring of Honor champion as well, that's right. At that point, you really got to this level of, gee, I don't hold the TNA title at that same level. Angle, Sting, Booker, Nash, Steiner.
They had years of history
so,
before TNA
so
had
many
even
world
started.
Titles. So many between them. And like, you know, WrestleManias and Starcades and pay-per-views
but maybe
and, like,
they
being
could
the
have
guy.
Played it up like these guys have been there, but they're not at the top of their game. So are they going to win? Even if they're heels, are they going to win? No, you didn't need to question that because they were going to win because they won every time. I think the tag titles was the only thing that at any point, I think it went to beer money.
Booker and Steiner had it, right?
But Beer Money took it.
I believe so. There, at one
and
point,
that was the only question mark in the whole Main Event Mafia run that got switched over.
Yeah. Booker and Steiner had the tag titles. Booker and Nash ended up having what was the Legends title at the time. I think AJ Styles.
Which they premiered in Las Vegas. I remember that so specifically.
Sting
because
had the
Booker
world title.
Crowned himself with the Legends title.
Sting had the world title, and then ultimately Kurt Angle ended up getting the world title. I mean, ultimately they ended up running roughshod in that they ended up having all the titles, and they kept switching back and forth amongst the members. It didn't matter. It's just any combination ended up having
but
the
titles.
But
wasn't that boring to you? Keep educator with the mic. Wasn't that boring to you?
It was in the sense that, you know, they're just
like,
pretty much trading
gonna
out.
Who's
going to
have it?
Right.
Booker or
who is it going to have it this week? Who's going to have
Angle.
It next week?
who fucking cares? Either way, it's Main Event Mafia.
The thing that's always been my dilemma in trying to really, really like TNA is that unfortunately it's just been the go-to place for the ex guys that Vince McMahon and the WWE had, you know, ended up casting off, or the ex guys that were from WCW that never got picked up by WWE long term, or like any of the washouts and burnouts from the industry. It was like the last place to go.
But I have to say, one of the that kind of made TNA exciting. Like, who was going to leave WWE and come to TNA? I saw some of the Monday Night Wars, but it was always exciting. Like,
No, Nitro.
But TNA and their little Monday Night Wars, like Jeff Hardy coming over to TNA, and Kevin Hellions just said that was shocking. You probably didn't hear it because he doesn't have a mic. And he didn't ask for a mic. But that made it, like, that's something TNA had going for them was RVD showing up. You know, and now Matt Hardy. And Ric Flair was, but Ric Flair coming over, that was huge because he was retired. That was like, and legit. I didn't watch this. This was pre me watching wrestling. But I remember hearing about a certain horror female friend of ours crying when Shawn Michaels beat Ric Flair.
Educator, were you there?
I remember hearing about this.
When did you watch Mania
She's a twat. I hope she hears this. I hope she hears it. You two aren't even... You're not even paying attention to the human drama that is. She could listen to this. And then we'll delete us. So we'll know if she listens
to
this.
She'll only listen to it if she knows we talk about her.
Well,
she won't listen
to
something not about her.
She's a whore. And then she'll listen. Anyhow. But that was huge when Ric Flair, after that ending at WWE, with Shawn Michaels finally beating him because him being beaten meant
it was to be the man that
he was meant that he was retiring.
And
when he shows up at TNA, that undoes all that storyline, all that incredibly moving storyline. And you've got to give it to TNA, like they fucking got Ric Flair.
It was a slap, though. Like, no one's ever gotten that. Hogan hasn't even gotten
that. And that's
that.
What I'm saying. Like, part of
tuning
in for TNA is that slap in the face. Like, look who just showed up. WWE cast them off, and they went right to TNA. And now TNA's like, fuck you, WWE. We just picked up this guy that you didn't want. And the people who like that guy are watching us now. Bite me. What?
The thing... Flair going over and then wrestling was such an insult because no one's ever gotten sent off like that. It was like, and then the next night on Raw 2, it was like, oh my God, no one will ever experience this again. He needs to stay retired. It seems legit. I think he's actually going to stay retired because people always retire and come back. And it's like, it seems
but
legit.
But apparently he had
and then
money
he goes
problems.
And fucking wrestles Jay Lethal. Now, it's nothing against Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal's a great wrestler,
but
he's not Shawn
Michaels,
and he's not Ric Flair.
I watched a little bit of that, and they played that off well, because him mocking Ric Flair, his Ric Flair imitations were incredible. Give him the mic. What were they?
They were absolutely spot on. I mean, you were talking...
That was fantastic.
Jay Lethal did, as a black man, did Ric Flair better than Ric Flair at the age of 62.
Woo!
It was just absolutely amazing.
Did you hear the story about Ric Flair and the bus on the recent overseas tour? Did you?
No.
Did you hear a story, Lise?
No, I'm dumping liquor on myself.
Okay. So the rumor is... Flair held up TNA for more money while they're in the middle of Europe in between towns. They get off the bus, you know, stretch your legs, get something to eat, take a leak, whatever. And he's like, I'm not getting on the bus unless I get a front of the money you owe me. Because he gets paid, you know, X amount a week or whatever. Well, he pissed through with his money. He's on
also,
the tour.
Also, didn't TNA piss through their appearances of him?
Yes. No, it's been reset now. But yeah, the original year of appearances,
they had him on like every episode for like 10 weeks straight and only had 15 appearances of Ric Flair for the year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that the numbers are like that, but yeah, they fucked up. Same with Foley. That's why Foley hasn't been around in a while either. So the deal was, the rumor was that he had pissed through all of his money, and it got so bad he'd, like, all the boys be out drinking. He'd be like, I'm Ric Flair, I'm paying for everyone. Drinks on me. And then he'd be like, I don't have any fucking money. Can you get this and I'll pay you back? Shit like that. So he's like, screw you, I'm Ric Flair, I'm not getting on the bus unless I get more money. TNA management in a very bad spot. It's like, we got, like, buses full of the guys who are about to go to next town and bust their ass in the ring, and we got this legend, but old, holding us up. So they go, fuck you, find your ride to the next town, and they took off with the bus. The TNA wrestlers were not like, dude, that's Ric Flair. Come on. The TNA wrestlers go, fuck, why couldn't Jay Lethal be on this trip to do his impressions right now? That's Woo! What upset them.
Nature boy.
But it was, okay, there's a rumor this year. I don't know if you'll end
but
up watching it.
But let's talk about that bump for Jay Lethal. I mean, wow.
And they've done nothing with it. I haven't seen him. He hasn't been on.
Really? I mean, lately. I've only watched one in 20 minutes recent episodes. So that really didn't even occur to me, but.
Yeah, he hasn't been on lately.
They gave him that huge bump and just drop him?
Yeah. Oh, a while ago. And Consequences
okay,
Creed
but
is in developmental.
Can we talk about what they're doing to the X Division?
Wait, do they still have an X Division?
Not really.
Oh,
not really,
oh.
No. I mean, technically, yeah.
Last I knew, there was some guy
I mean,
doing a Jersey Shore gimmick trying to win a belt. And
that's what I saw. Right. Dude.
Rob Echo,
bite
she's
me.
Playing Robbie E., has been an indie wrestler for years. At least it's someone legit. I mean, they...
Whatever, it doesn't matter. The gimmick they gave him sucks.
But
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see him.
I understand the use for gimmicks. Okay, TNA, yes,
you
they
can
have Ric
find
Flair, yes.
A better gimmick than that.
But
do they think by using a Jersey Shore-esque gimmick, they're going to bring in
Jersey Shore
viewers?
Jersey Shore is the biggest show on cable.
Okay, people who watch Jersey Shore, big show on cable, I hear you. Are they suddenly like, oh, there's a guy on TNA with a Jersey Shore gimmick? I need to watch that.
They probably don't even know
fucking
what TNA is.
No. Fucking no. They're trashing their X Division with that shit, which might bring in literally 5 viewers in the country who are like, oh my god, that guy's like Jersey Shore,
TNA's
I'm going
to
watch it now.
The thing with gimmicks for TNA, you do need gimmicks. Yes, you have Ric Flair. Yes, you have Hulk
Hogan. WWE needs gimmicks. You don't have to make them shitty.
You can't always hit the mark, because if you're flipping through and you're like,
okay, so after 2 episodes, you're like, this sucks, and you stop.
Better? If I could finish my point.
I don't want to hear your point because it's wrong.
So, and this is why it's called Angels and Aliens. So.
Because I'm going to be a fucking alien right now.
If you're flipping
the
through
the
channel.
The educator is very amused by all of this. Would you like to chime in?
Through the channel and you don't know who these people are, you're like, oh, some random guy wrestled and he did a bunch of flip moves and all, and that was cool. But it doesn't get you thrown in for the next week. But if you're like, oh, that's the guy that dresses up like Macho Man Randy Savage. That's the guy that has a guru gimmick. That's the guy that has a Jersey Shore gimmick. At least you can remember who they are.
It's not gonna make you come back.
I can't hear you.
It's not going to make you come back.
Did you say, I'll be right back? You know, that means you're going to die in the horror film.
So, anyways, like I've said, the thing that's just turned me off about the whole TNA thing is that, you know, it's just like the wash-up haven of guys that,
but
you know.
Not, what about someone like Kazarian? To tie all this in together, Kazarian's the current X Division champion, but could you spot Kazarian in the crowd?
Could I spot Kazarian
in
the crowd?
He's so good. He's very innovative.
Absolutely. Very much innovative. You know, some of the spots that he sets himself up for are absolutely crazy.
Can you remember one classic Kazarian match? Can you remember one classic Kazarian promo?
A promo? No, the guy can't talk on a stick. Absolutely not.
He's married to Tracy Brooks, and that's about it.
You know... I mean, I can certainly remember some of the craziest spots that he's had. I mean, that X Division spot, the X Division match at Ultimate X where he did the flux capacitor with, I believe it was Daniels, basically just rolling backwards off the X to do the backflip into the, it was almost like a rock bottom kind of deal. But, I mean, he, like, dropped Daniels on his head. I mean, absolutely amazing. It was just a crazy match, crazy spot. But
then what did it do? That's another thing with TNA. Like, Elix Skipper walking the cage was an incredible move.
Amazing
like,
spot.
Holy shit. That, like, and he doesn't have a job now. And no one remembers the spot. But then, you know what? Can't you still remember Shelton Benjamin coming off, springboarding off the ropes, and getting caught with
the super
kick?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. What an incredible match. And everyone's like, wow, Shelton's got like arrived. He couldn't play the politics. That was about it. He's working for Ring of Honor. He's busting his ass on the indies. He's still doing it. He's still going to make it. And he has these moves. Like, even being shit on the mic and not getting over with some gimmick or whatever, you still remember him.
All right,
you still
right.
remember shit, you know?
That's why wrestling needs to bring back managers. And managers who are actually...
She's dead.
Managers.
Elizabeth's dead.
Hold on. The angel's coming.
Angel. Chiming in. My name is Elise. I don't know if you know that that's a French derivative. Or a derivative of the French form of Elizabeth, spelled with an S.
Yeah.
I spent many years of my youth giving my mother shit for not naming me Elizabeth because of the manager in wrestling. That's my earliest memory of wrestling, is that I wanted to be like Elizabeth. So maybe they should fucking bring that back. Because you know what? That concept back, not Elizabeth because she is dead. Boo-boo. But
yeah, that first lady.
That was something.
Didn't exactly work out for anybody that had them. I mean, you have Missy Hyatt, who certainly isn't any, by any means.
Did you hear the fucking line on the Jim Cornette roast? Missy Hyatt's here. She calls herself the first lady of wrestling. So do other people. Like Miss Elizabeth, she's dead. Sherry Martel, she's dead. Maybe you should call yourself the last lady of wrestling.
The last lady of wrestling.
That's one of the worst things I've ever heard. I think the only thing worse than that was Missy Hyatt's blown so many wrestlers, she spits up somas.
And you've made your little joke. But I remember that. I was between 4 and 6 years old. And I will always remember that. So maybe they were onto something with that. How did we get to that point? I wasn't here.
Oh, I suggested that, you know, the guys that who are fantastic, you know, fantastic entertainers like Kazarian in the ring, but can't really do anything promo-wise or you know, anything on the mic.
Even Shelton Benjamin. Shelton's Benjamin. Awesome, but
absolutely.
He could never... He was never good on the mic. We did some series. One of the best wrestlers ever.
Ain't no stopping him now. Well, he doesn't have a contract with WWE, so.
Or TNA. He'll be back.
Or TNA.
He'll be back in
the I'm sure, absolutely. He'll be back. He'll be on our TV sometime sooner rather than later.
Yeah, he needs to get rid of that.
Yeah. Bleach blonde.
At least said no, bleach blonde doesn't work. But the thing was that we're saying is if you have managers. Take, okay, Andre the Giant, because of his giantism and because he was from France originally and had the accent, could never get rid of it, he couldn't cut a decent promo.
What
he couldn't
do you
speak.
Mean, boss?
Yeah, Princess Bride, you have to really concentrate to figure out what the fuck he's saying.
The Indian guy.
The Great Khali.
Has a manager.
Has a manager.
Needed.
Thank you.
Required.
He's a great.
I have to disagree. I don't think anybody in anyone's
okay,
mind
he's
would mix great Khali and
he is
great
a popular
wrestling.
Enough
absolutely
wrestler.
Popular.
He's got his gimmick, mm-hmm. and it's bringing viewers in.
Absolutely.
Maybe not great. Maybe not entertaining everyone. I will defer to you, educator, because I feel like I'm a second class wrestler citizen, considering I'm a. Passive watcher for the most part. But he has the manager and people know who he is.
Absolutely.
It was a very funny and memorable moment during the Royal Rumble when he was kissed and thrown out by Beth Phoenix.
The Glamazon.
It, what didn't they do? Didn't they do something similar in 2011? Someone kissed him and threw him out.
Nah, not the Royal Rumble this year. That was 2010.
Was I? To be fair, I fell asleep during 2011, so maybe it was just a clip they threw.
It was the whole. It was the new Nexus. It was Mason Ryan because Zeke didn't.
But the point is, the manager works there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely works there. So maybe that's what it is, and I can be Kevin Hellion's manager because I can't wrestle. I'm too chubby. But I'm cute enough for chubby chasers.
All right. One, no chubby. Two, we're not going to make this a porn podcast.
Absolutely not. We have at least some standards.
Some.
But we could. Sure it would be mad.
No.
Thank you.
Oh.
We were on a podcast. That would be entirely different.
I don't think Mrs. Education would do a podcast.
No, I don't think that would. I'd buy it. Absolutely.
It wouldn't be wrestling based, I'll give you that.
Oh yeah.
But
I adore her.
We were saying
I adore you, Sherry.
Ironically, I adore her a lot as well.
We
Right.
We're saying though, if someone like Kazarian had a manager, maybe he'd be overloaded. Maybe that's why they brought back Tracy Brooks.
Well, isn't that what the whole point of the Flair being the mouthpiece of the, well, they were called Fortune. I mean, there's so many names now. They were Fortune, and then when they combined with Hogan's group, they were called Immortal or something like
Fortune's
that.
And now Fortune's split.
And now Fortune's all split up again.
AJ has learned a lot on how to cut a promo. AJ pairing up with Flair has done wonders.
Absolutely.
So good.
AJ
beer
was,
money is great.
Beer money is fantastic.
Say what you want about AJ. I've seen him live. And he is good live.
Did you guys go to a Syracuse show?
We did. We saw a house show for TNA in Syracuse. And it was fantastic. Also, shockingly great, Angelina Love. I hate it. I still hate the Beautiful People gimmick, although they don't play it up the way they used to. So that I hated it so much. But as soon as I saw Angelina Love in a house show in Syracuse, I was hooked.
She played heel so amazing.
And now
you could be in the back row and know exactly all the shit she's doing. The red, purple thing.
Reach right directly behind you, educator. You will find more warmth.
But she knew everything she was fucking doing. She had, she would make like movements that were subtle but broad enough that like the back rows could see it. She did so good.
How did I mark out for that show?
You love that show.
I was like,
yeah, you love TNA.
We were like what, third row?
Yeah,
because it wasn't assigned seating.
Yeah, Christian.
But
your
I ran over to that walkway every time somebody came in. I marked the
Beer
fuck
Money,
out.
Beer Money, JB, Smojo, Daniels, anyone.
Kevin Hellions is there thinking we're not spending any money, and I'm like, oh my god, we need 3D's autographed. Let's go in the ring
Let's
and pay
$20
to get 3D's autographed because this is so cool.
Well, they're not. We didn't even get an autograph. We got an 8x10 with them.
Five by seven. 5x7.
Me and Brother Ian.
You
Yvonne.
Better find a way to scan that and put it online to
I
go with this podcast.
No, you didn't want it. You said you didn't like how you looked in it.
I look horribly fat.
We're wearing our Team
Hellion
shirts.
I'm probably less fat than I look now, but let's not talk about that.
But, and then, that's true, you hated the Beautiful People, but then you saw them, and you like, you hate Katie Lee, now known as Winter. You saw her at the...
I never said I hated her.
You didn't look, she's the one that had the British accent that was at, in the Diva match at the Super Show in Syracuse. And you did not like her.
I have no recollection of this.
She had the bad hair extension. She had like a streak of white in it and all too.
Apparently she was not very memorable because I have no recollection of this event.
She's Winter now. She's the one that's teamed up with Angelina Love.
I do recall that because her and Velvet are at odds.
Oh, it's so creepy this week. Oh, it's so creepy. Wait till you see it. It's so damn creepy. She grabs scissors and it's really like uncomfortable watching it.
You're uncomfortable.
You're like, that bitch is crazy. She might cut someone.
She said she grabbed scissors. Is she channeling her inner Arn Anderson and Sid Vicious?
Her inner Felicity?
Oh, my goodness.
No, her
inner Felicity.
She got an inner her Felicity.
Wow,
right
that's
there.
Not good.
I mean, I haven't seen a Felicity like that in a long time.
Well, then.
Big fan of Carrie Russell at the time. For at least no moniker needed, what you don't know for the scissor joke is there was a fight with two wrestlers at a hotel, and they stabbed each other with scissors. And I don't think she heard it.
Probably not.
So, I think we're going to get ready to wrap it up. As I think we're all passing out here a little bit, too.
So far, just as a quick recap, what we seem to have covered today was the nervous or the lack of understanding of why Kevin Nash is not on our television entertaining us on a week-to-week basis. We glossed over Catholic school in high school. In particular, and the pros and cons of supporting versus non-supporting tuition rates. We talked about
the main event mafia
and the predictability of the entire year of TNA booking around them.
The language of French.
We talked about French and whether or not a political science instructor should be your
Your advisor,
knowing the languages and whether or not they count.
We
discussed how managers need to come back in wrestling. We discussed the need for wrestling as a whole to step up its game and not come up with these crazy angles where women channel fights that happened 20 years ago. Regarding scissor incidences and
was it 20 years ago?
It was, I would believe it was like back in 93 that this 93, 94.
So overall, would you say wrestling is not a downturn?
I would, it's definitely in the down. I mean,
do you think it's going to come back?
I certainly, it always does. I'm quite interested.
Always in what, 20 years, 30 years? Epically speaking, that is not much.
It's about a 15.
Could this be the end of wrestling?
I'll say 10 years.
I'd say 10 year.
Okay, but 10 years for 30 years, that's only three times. That's not really setting a precedent.
When was...
Okay.
Kevin Hellions, when was the last
upcycle? Was there a WWF when TV started?
Give a year. What year do you think wrestling was at its upcycle? Probably Austin era, 98, 99, 97.
That was huge.
How long has professional wrestling, as we're talking about it, been in existence?
I mean, 1900s, county fairs.
On television.
Television's, yeah, 50s.
All right, with who?
Gorgeous George.
Gorgeous George? Yeah. All right, well, maybe I'm just... But still, even with TV...
The change came, what you know as wrestling today... change when Vince McMahon said fuck what happened before, I'm buying up everyone, and that's when everything changed. Because it used to be every state, give or take, some expanded, some were smaller, but we'll say about every state was its own territory and had its own champion and had its own TV. Vince McMahon had New York, his father Vince Sr., and when Vince Jr., the current Mr. McMahon, took over, he goes, fuck this, and just started buying out the good talent. So if you have, like, Ric Flair, and all of a sudden you don't, and you have shit, what are you going to do?
So how many years are we saying?
All right, we'll say Hulkamania was the biggest.
No, so, how many years are we talking about wrestling in its current incarnation? Vince McMahon bought shit up in... Things changed, and we revolutionized wrestling.
WrestleMania.
How? So, like 30 years?
30 years.
All right, well, that's twice as long as TV has been around, really. 60 years for TV?
Yeah.
Since we got rid of since we started the talkies. It could conceivably not continue at some point?
It will.
All right, but what incarnation? Is it what you're talking about or something else?
I'll say Raw will always be on. As long as WWE wants to produce Raw, I'll say Raw is always be on. I think I could see them getting rid of SmackDown, like only have one show, and I could see TNA failing at some point. But I think you'll always have Raw. I think there's too much money in WWE for that to ever go away totally. But I think you'll always have at least Raw.
I think WWE will be around as long as the McMahon family wants it to be.
We already know we got one more generation.
We already know we're going to have another generation between, even though Shane is out, I truly believe that Shane McMahon will come back. Were the reasons ever disclosed why he ended up dumping all of his stock and completely pulled out? I mean, I've heard one story. It was to help his mother concentrate on the whole Connecticut Senate and all that. Then there was also stories that he was actually trying to get into Dana White's good side and become some sort of either public relations or agent or something to do with UFC. Has it ever come to light as to why Shane just said enough's enough on one out of WWE and one out of the family business, so to speak, and has completely separated or isolated himself out of that? Could it have anything to do, perhaps, with the fact with Stephanie and Hunter being the actual talent, so to speak, marrying into the family and having the true vision, I guess, so to speak, as to the direction in which wrestling should go.
And I mean, Stephanie and Triple H, and H is notorious for making himself the star of the show when he's like booking and make himself star. As soon as he's done in the ring, he's got a great mind for wrestling. I have no problem with him having control. He's going to do phenomenal things. It seems like Shane wanted to make his mark on his own. He wanted to prove himself as an individual, not as a member of the McMahon family, and went off, and nothing's really come for it. I guess he's the number one investor in some big Chinese company right now. It sounds like he wanted to get in UFC. If I was Dana White, I'd be like, yeah, I have millions, but your dad has billions. And while I'm probably going to be there in just another year or two, I'm not fucking with that.
Right.
I'm not hiring you. If I was Dana White, I would not hire Shane McMahon. I don't want to deal with it.
Right.
That's a dangerous crossover to make for Dana White.
Right.
Because he doesn't want wrestling people. Brock took a long time. And it's not even just that he doesn't want wrestling people. Wrestling is fake. I'm sorry, wrestling fan guy. And not fake in that these people are not... Not crying wrestling fan.
It's still real to me.
Still real to you. But the bottom line here is that while these people are physically putting themselves at risk and physically doing incredible and impressive stunts, it's predetermined. And that's the big difference between professional wrestling and ultimate fighting.
And
MMA.
MMA is still trying to be
recognized. MMA.
It still states that it's not legal and they do not need
MMA is not in any way predetermined. Who will win the match at the end of the match is up to those two fighters. It could turn out either way. Somebody could get knocked out unexpectedly. Like, that is not predetermined.
Could have anything happen.
So I see Dana White not wanting someone who is affiliated with this predetermined, albeit still impressive, physical
performance,
and that's the perfect word, performance. He is not wanting to put himself out there for people who are associated with a predetermined, albeit impressive, match.
Bobby Lashley wanted to come in. He was in WWE. He was in TNA for a while. Dana said no. Now, he's done a few fights. He seems legit, but he doesn't seem to be willing to give himself totally to it because he was working for Strikeforce, which is a lesser MMA company than UFC and TNA at the same time. Kurt Angle, keep saying that he wants to do something. And if you're Dana White, you're like, your body's shot.
Damn near broken neck.
He broke his neck at the Olympics. Like, he's had it broken his entire wrestling career. Or no, before the Olympics he broke it.
So how is he gonna?
He can't. There's do no MMA. Way. He's too old. His body's too shot. He's never gonna pass drug tests. It ain't gonna happen. Kurt Angle cannot do MMA for UFC. He could do it for a lesser one that isn't as attentive to certain rules. But UFC is so beyond clean and classy and trying to become legit. Dana White did an interview. He was at Madison Square Garden earlier in the month. He's like, as soon as it's legal in New York State, we're having a show here. Like, practically next day. And the only event like that that runs in Madison Square Garden is fucking WWE. So, not happy about it. But I would stay away. He didn't want Brock to come in. At least Brock Lesnar... At least Brock Lesnar had a few.
Is posing with the fugly.
The generic snuggie. Fugly. At least Brock Lesnar had a few years away from wrestling to build himself up as something legit.
Where's my camera? Kevin, what did you do with my phone?
I don't know.
Find it.
It's on top of the TV.
Go get it.
It's on top of the TV.
I think you should go get it for me.
I think you're closer.
I think please go get it for me. The educator, has this one. Go on.
But no, I mean, if I'm Dana White, I am staying away from anyone in wrestling coming into my organization. There was The Undertaker was sitting front row and have a brief confrontation with Brock Lesnar, Brock's last fight, and everyone's like, oh, we're going to see Undertaker and Brock at WrestleMania in an MMA-style match. Not to say it wouldn't be awesome. I'd love to fucking see that. It ain't going to happen. Yeah. If you're in UFC and you do anything wrestling right now, you're not going to be in UFC much longer.
So, might I interject while we're trying to tie this up?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was trying to tie this up.
I thought you were helping me along.
I was.
My apologies.
You didn't take it very gracefully, but I was.
I don't.
I think we're over our hour mark.
I think we've talked for a
while.
Why
don't you go ahead and look and tell me how far over?
Oh, an hour and 20-something.
Yeah, so we should really tie this up, our patient listeners and presumably wrestling fans or Catholic school fans. Either way, I'd say that's the other thing. Italian speaking. Quando è il tuo compleanno?
But all right, we'll sign off here. This has been Angels Hellions Podcast. I'm Kevin Hellions. Check us out at teamhellions.com. Check out Elisa's stuff at nerdnuptials.etsy.com.
Can we thank our special guest, the educator?
Fellow Hellion, Team Hellion member, the educator.
Anytime, any place, the educator wants to lend his opinion.
Now, briefly.
We are grateful for that.
Briefly, No moniker needed. If you could give the education the mic for one more moment here as we close. I don't know if you realize that, but the education sold out Wharton Arena. He held 100,000 people in the Wharton Arena. Does Wharton Arena hold 100,000 people?
It did that night.
Thank you.
I don't even know what's going on, so just join Elise No Less moniker in that.
All right, this has been Angels and Hellions Podcast. Have a hell of a time.
I love you.